You have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Isaiah chapter number 14. Isaiah chapter number 14. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse number 9. Hail from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity again to gather in your house. Lord, we do not take it for granted what we feel in this sanctuary. The very fact that we can worship our God in a country that's still free in that regard. I pray that you would continue to raise up men and women of God that can come against the wave of wickedness in this nation. Raise up prayer warriors and preachers and young people and lay people that would stand with their loins girt about truth and full of God's Holy Ghost. Lord, we ask you that you would speak to us by your word this morning, by your spirit. Lord, let us see what only you can see. I ask you to unveil the hidden truths of God's word. We ask you in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Reading again, Isaiah 14 and 9. Hail from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. I'm going to preach to you this morning on six surprises waiting in hell. The very mention of hell seems to generate a whole lot of different responses. Some people react with immediate concern. They get a burden for the lost, and it stirs them to go out in the highways and byways and witness to the lost. I hope it does to you today. Another feeling that generates from the preaching and mention of hell is there's a reaction from the lost that says, hey, I need to get it right. There's not much more time. I know that Jesus is coming, or I could die at any moment by the way of the grave, and if I die without God, I'm going to go to hell. But yet there's another feeling that seems to generate whenever you preach on hell, and that is a reaction of hate and disdain, saying that is a doctrine of times past. That's a hate doctrine. Listen, how could a God of love send anyone to hell? Let me say this to you. How could anyone choose hell over a loving God? He is a loving God. Yes, he loves us with an everlasting, never-changing love. And he loves us so much that over 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on an old rugged cross. He shed his blood for you and I. And if we accept the finished work of Calvary, we walk in the light as he is in the light, we are going to have eternal life. That ought to make you want to shout this morning. He has prepared a place for every one of us, and we don't have to go to hell. Hell wasn't made for man, but for the devil and his angels. But because of man's rebellion and rejection of a holy God, men choose hell over God. Hear me today. It doesn't matter what we think about hell. It doesn't matter what your opinion is on hell. Well, I just don't believe that. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what I believe or the church down the street. Amen. All that really matters is what the Bible says. Because the Bible is right. Let every man be a liar, but let God's word be truth. One day, whenever this earth, the Bible said, it's going to melt with a fervent heat. That is the end of all things. It's all going to burn. When heaven and earth pass away, God's word will endure forever. It's going to last forever and ever. So all that matters is, thus saith the word of the Lord. Brother Matt, why do you preach on hell? Why do you preach on this awful place? Isn't everyone here saved and ready for heaven? I doubt that very serious that everyone in this house is ready for heaven. And listen, there's three reasons why we preach on hell. Number one, we preach on hell because it is a Bible doctrine. I'm not to preach whatever I want to preach. I'm not to preach something to make you feel good and to tickle your fancy today, amen. I'm to preach what the Bible says, because the living word of God is a truth that'll get down in your spirit. It'll get down into the marrow of your bones. It'll change your thinking. It'll change everything about you. The Bible is the truth of God's word, and it is living. God didn't call me to preach my opinions. He called me to preach the whole counsel of God. Number two, I preach on hell to awaken Christians. Many of us in this house tonight, this morning, are spiritually asleep. We are so concerned with minute details of life, the carnal, the temporal things, and we very seldom ever think on eternal things, the things that really matter. Listen, all that really matters is that when you die, you're right with God. If you have children, listen, if you raise those children and you don't raise them in church and teach them to put God first and to fear a holy God, it'd have been better for them to never been born. All your baseball games and basketball games and all the things that you want to do to cultivate something to build up their self-esteem, it isn't worth anything. What we need to do is make sure our family is right with God. Get them in a youth group that's on fire for God. Have them in every single service. Don't you miss out for nothing. Why? Because we are not to forsake our gathering of ourselves in assembly, and so much more as we see the day approaching. That is the rapture, the time, the end times. And number three, we preach on hell to warn sinners. Listen, what kind of love would somebody have or would say they have if they know somebody's racing towards judgment and they do not warn them? What kind of love is that? Well, preacher, I don't want to upset anybody. Say you're going home late at night. You're driving home at 2:00 in the morning and you get into your neighborhood and all of a sudden you see a fire that's just started on your neighbor's house. You know they're not awake. It's 2:00 in the morning and every light in that home is still out. And all of a sudden, the first thought that comes to your mind, I need to beat on that door. I need to wake them up. The fire's just started. They'll burn to death. There's a possibility they could die. And then the other thought comes to your mind, well, you don't want to upset them. You don't want to wake them up. You don't want to stir them up in an area that may make them feel uncomfortable. Yes, that is insanity, ladies and gentlemen. And the insanity goes far, far greater whenever you see a lost sinner out there who's dying, going to hell, and we want to walk away and say nothing. What kind of love is that? I preach on hell today because I love the lost, and Jesus saved a wretch like me, and I want every other wretch to get saved. Oh, the love of God that's so rich and pure. I cannot believe he saved me, but he did. And I want everyone to go to a place called heaven. Isaiah 14 and 9, as we look at this passage, it's very interesting. Isaiah says, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It's almost as if it's indicating that hell is underneath us and it's waiting to meet us. It's waiting to swallow up a person who dies without God. What a surprise that is. Can you imagine the surprise the first night in hell? There's going to be many surprises in hell. There's going to be a whole lot of people who cannot believe what they're experiencing. They've heard about it. They thought certain things about eternity, but they never really made up their mind. They never really believed. They had so many different ideas because they heard so many different things. They never stuck to the word of God. They listened to this person and read that on the internet. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, there's going to be a lot of surprises in hell. What does it mean to be surprised? It means happening suddenly or unexpectedly without warning. Basically, catching someone unprepared. Catching someone unprepared. Describe hell to me, preacher. Well, I can only say what Jesus said about hell. There are some descriptions, but let me say this. There's not an adjective that I can use in the English language to describe the horrors of hell. Nothing on this earth has ever compared, nor will it ever compare to the horrors of hell. No Hollywood producer could produce anything in its likeness. No gifted writer could describe with all of the adjectives they could use, or gifted writing that they could use to describe this burning inferno, the caverns of the dead, constantly screaming out in pain, in agony, living with constant remorse because they choose a world over a loving Savior. Let me tell you again, it doesn't matter what the world says. I don't care the direction of modern day religion. The Bible is still right. Cling to the Word of God. The Word of God is still the infallible truth of God. Amen. Describe to hell to me, preacher. I don't know all that. All I can say is what Jesus said about hell. Just now, somebody went to hell. Just now, another person went to hell just now. Statistically, they say, 8 billion people on planet Earth. 150,000 people die worldwide every day. 150,000 people die. You do the math on that per second, it's in the thousands per second of people who die every single day in the world. And listen to me, according to this Bible right here, the majority of them are in hell. Jesus said it was a straight gate that leads to eternal life. It's the wide gate. And he said many will go the direction of hell, but only a few will go to heaven. I want you to think about it. Most people are in hell. Last night, somebody got in a car. They smoked a joint. They drank some booze. They went around a curve, and they died in their sin. Listen, you can go ahead and put them in heaven all day long if you want to. I'm not that kind of preacher. You say, well, how could you say that to a family that's grieving? How could you say that to somebody who's going through something? Don't you want to comfort them? Absolutely, I want to comfort them. But I will not lie to a family at the expense of somebody else's soul that's in danger. No, we are to run from sin. We are to run from the things that will separate us from God. And I'm going to say this. Before I start preaching today, sin will still separate you from God. He has given us a remedy. It's called the blood of Calvary. And we can repent, change, turn from that sin, and not constantly walk in sin. Don't you tell me that you can't stop sinning. Don't you tell me that you can't stop that wicked lifestyle you're in. I'm telling you today that the power of the blood and the cross and the grace of God gives us the power to overcome the sins that so easily find us captive. Last night someone died and went to hell. Maybe they died at 10 or 11 o'clock last night and they've been in hell for 8 to 10 hours, 8 to 12 hours. They spent their first night and morning in hell. I want to show you 6 surprises waiting for every Christ-rejecting life whenever they enter into hell. First of all, the first surprise. Some people will be surprised to find out hell is a real place. All their life they've wondered and they didn't fully believe. Can you imagine going to college and hearing the professor say it's hogwash, it's ridiculous? All these churches out there, they've preached this stuff. There's no way that there is a real, literal hell. And they can give you all kind of educational viewpoints, scientific thoughts, that there's not a hell. Can you imagine that? Hearing the atheist make their point of why they don't believe that there is a hell. Can you imagine reading on the internet, is there a heaven or hell? You're going to get all kind of thoughts there. You read a very intelligent thought on why there is no hell, and you begin to believe those things. Imagine you believe the articles and you believe the individuals that had influence in your life, and all of a sudden you take your last breath and you enter into a place you never dreamed existed, because that's exactly what's going to happen according to the Word of God. Many will be surprised to find out hell is a real place. The Bible gives at least 162 references on hell. Do you hear me? 162 references on hell. And in the New Testament, there's over 70 references on hell. And guess who gave most of those references? The loving, gentle, Savior, namely Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Jesus preached on hell over twice as many times as he preached on heaven. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying hell is a real place. There is people today crying out of hell. They are crying out wishing that they would get out of that place of the damned. Listen, can you imagine taking your last breath and then plummeting? I don't know exactly what it's going to be like, but let's use our imagination. I don't want to. Stay with me today. You took your last breath, and then you immediately, at warp speed, begin to plummet down a dark tunnel. You're going at warp speed. Your spirit's racing towards hell. All of a sudden, you can hear you can smell the sulfur. You can hear the screams of hell. The Bible said there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You're thinking, maybe this is just a dream. Oh, Lord, wake me up. Oh, if I could get out of this dream, I would get out and I'd make sure that I was ready, right, and looking for the appearing of Christ. And all of a sudden, you think, maybe it's just a dream. And then you enter into the mouth of hell and you begin to feel the pains and the pangs of hell. The flames that are constantly burning away at the new body. Hear me today. That body's not going to burn just once. It's going to burn continuously because you're going to have an immortal body. We're going to be immortal if we make it to heaven. No pain. You're never going to die. And you're going to be immortal if you make it to hell. You're going to burn forever and ever. And you find out hell is a real place. Can you imagine the surprise? Your heart's beating. All of a sudden it stops beating and you wake up in hell. To think this kind of a place existed. Jesus preached on it. Jesus warned about it. What a surprise it's going to be to so many who didn't believe that it was a real place. The second surprise in hell is to find out that I'm here. You're here. Can you imagine? The churchgoer, can you imagine the one who was faithful in all the areas of their religiosity? They did good things, and I mean to tell you, they were faithful to the house of God. They might have even sang in the choir, I pray these are all right and ready. They sit on a pew, and they served in some capacity of the church, praise the Lord. Oh, they came ever, they were faithful, they paid their tithe. Can you imagine that? They didn't steal from God like Malachi says, would a man rob God? No, they paid their tithe. They were good people. They did everything they were supposed to do. They gave to people. They helped. They lend a helping hand to those in need. And they just knew that they were going to enter into heaven. Can you imagine the surprise when they wake up and they find out they went to hell? Can you imagine the surprise when they find out that sin that God dealt with them about over and over again, that they refused to repent and turn from, and it lingered in their heart? Come on, church. Listen, they say, I was a good person. What's going on here? This got to be a mistake. I'm not supposed to be here. I'm a child of God. So I thought, I remember I had an experience with God. Listen, it's not just a one-time experience. You got to have an experience with God. Some people say, I don't know when I got saved. I've been in church all my life. You know what my response is? Oh, brother and sister, come over here. Let's pray one more time. If you don't know a time and a place where you got it right with God, you need to ask him to save you and wash you in your blood. You don't get to heaven because you were born in a good old-fashioned church or your daddy's a preacher or you have a good resume. No, you are born again because you are washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. You must be washed. You must be born again. You must be changed by the power of His Spirit to enter into heaven. But Brother Matt, I've loved people. I've treated people right. I haven't done anything wrong to people in my neighborhood. Man, I was neighborly. I whenever somebody came over and asked for a dozen eggs, I gave them two. I was a good neighbor. I was a good person. Listen, good people are not going to make it to heaven. There's a lot of good people out there that do a lot of neighborly things. What a surprise it's going to be whenever someone never was born again or Either they at one time got saved, but they did not keep their relationship fresh. They did not keep oil in their vessel. They stopped walking with Christ. Listen, Jesus said it in John 15. Jesus said these words, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Anytime that a branch, that's you and I, ever ceases to abide in the vine, that branch is cast forth, it withers and it dies. Those little dead branches in your yard, what do? You gather them up and you take them to the fire pit. Jesus said in the last day, the dead branches will be gathered up by the angels and cast into the fire. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, don't you ever believe once in the vine, always in the vine. You must keep yourself in the love of God. You can't just be saved one time. You got to keep your relationship fresh with God. You must abide in Him. I love people. What a surprise it's going to be. I'm not supposed to be here. Listen, there's going to be preachers that'll be surprised that they're in hell. Preachers are going to be in hell. Sunday school teachers will wake up in hell and they'll wonder why. They'll be surprised. There's going to be deacons, choir members, police officers, mayors, judges, senators, House of Representative members, distinguished people in the community, loving, kind people in hell, and they're surprised that they're there. I want you to think about it. Think about the shock as people come up to the white throne judgment and they find out their name's not there. Can you imagine? You're in heaven. You're in line. I don't know what it's going to be like, but let's just kind of get a picture. You're in line and you're waiting to be judged. You come up to the white throne judgment and they search the book of life. And God looks at you, or He looks at me and says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Matthew 7:21 says, many will come in the last day and say, Lord, Lord, we've cast out devils. We've healed the sick. We've done many wonderful works in your name. Jesus said, I will profess unto them that day, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Jesus never said that they didn't cast out devils. Jesus never said, no, you didn't heal the sick. Listen, you can't heal the sick and cast out devils unless you're washed in the blood and the stronger than the strong man is in you. So somewhere along the way, yes, they had the gifts. Yes, they had an experience with God. But somewhere along the journey, they took all the gifts and they left the giver. Don't you make the mistake of taking all the gifts and the amenities of Christianity, but leave the giver. All that really matters is to know Him and to make Him known. All that really matters is to walk in the truth and to walk in the light, to walk with Him and to have fellowship with our Lord and Savior. Think about the shock, the surprise when people find out it's me, I'm here. Jesus meant what He said when He said, you must be born again. Jesus meant what He said whenever He said, you must abide in me. That is a progressiveness. That is something you've got to do. Oh, preacher, you ain't got to do nothing. You better read that Bible again. Don't be using a play on words or something that John Calvin said a long time ago. Yes, I don't work myself into heaven. No, no, no. I'm not saved by works. Let's get it right. We're saved by the blood, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, once you get saved, there is a relationship that is formed right there, and you and I are to walk in obedience. The grace that God gives is the initial grace is to save us, and that grace in the Greek means God's ability. I'm going to keep preaching it until you memorize it and you talk about it in your sleep. Grace, God's grace, is His ability to overcome what I and you cannot overcome in ourselves. Yes, I can overcome, because He overcome, I can overcome. Number three, some will be surprised at how fast they came to hell. Most people think they're going to live a long time. Oh, when I was a teenager, man, I'm thinking, woo, I'm just going to have a little fun for a little while. I was a high school football player at Bullard High School. I was the first string. I was a starting running back, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade year. Man, I thought I had it going on. I was an idiot. I was lost. I used to pray before the games. I would drink my booze and everything else you can think of. I was a wicked sinner. And I would pray, Lord, will you help me to score 3 touchdowns tonight? Listen, a lot of that junk anyway is just the pride and the working up of the flesh. You want to be edified. You want to be praised of men. That's pride. That's the same sin that caused an angel named Lucifer wanting the praise of men. It turned an angel into a devil. What? He wanted the praise of angels. Ladies and gentlemen, we better be careful when we want the praise of men. That's a telltale sign that you ain't right. I didn't say sports was wrong, but if your attitude's wrong and you want to be the champion, you want to be the one everybody praises, you need to get right with God. Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Say amen or oh me. And I used to pray before the games, oh God, help me to score 3 touchdowns or 4. Psalm 66 and 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God won't even hear me. But I was a sinner. I was so twisted in my mind thinking that God was going to answer my wicked prayers and requests to edify me. Oh, no, sir. Listen to me today. God, he's looking for somebody who's serious with him, and there has to be true repentance. We think that third surprise is they think they're surprised that they came to hell so quickly. Most people think they're going to live a long time. They will have plenty of time. I will have plenty of time. You will have plenty of time. That's the foolish words of every procrastinator. I got plenty of time. Hey, I'm 16 years old. They've been preaching this since before I was born and before my mom and grandparents and great-grandparents were born. Surely it won't happen. Listen, you're playing Russian roulette with your eternal soul. Listen, we are the last generation. All of the signs of the times are here and they have already come. So that means that Jesus could come back today. Listen, can you imagine someone thought they had plenty of time and they wake up and it's them that's there. Listen, today I want to tell you so many think I'll repent at the 11th hour. Before the clock strikes midnight. But so often we die at 10:30. East Texas is part of the Bible Belt. You know, the Bible Belt runs from Texas all the way straight across North Carolina, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina. That Bible Belt. Oh, praise God. Aren't you glad you're in the Bible Belt? I've talked and witnessed to so many East Texans, and it's people who have been raised in church. It's people who had a mama who prayed, who took them to church. It don't matter if it was a Baptist or a Methodist or a Pentecostal. They were raised in a church that preached the blood of the cross. It was a church that preached the sound biblical doctrine. We might not agree on everything, but I can tell you, they came from a home that was extremely influential, and somebody in their house was truly saved. Amen? And I'm going to tell you, I've preached to so many of them and witnessed to so many East Texans that say this, Brother Matt, I know I'm not right, and I know I need to get right. I know. Listen, I'm going to be there Sunday. Can you give me the address of your church? They don't show up. I see them again. I'm going to come. Listen, they have good intentions. They have good intentions. I'm going to get it right. They know. They will not dispute that they are in sin. They will not dispute that they are wrong. But listen to me. Good intentions will not do it. The enemy will move in the time frame of your good intentions, because the road to hell is always paved with good intentions. Yes, these Texas in the Bible Belt are full of people who know that they need to get it right, but they procrastinate over and over and over again, and then they die and they wake up in hell and cannot believe that they're there. We have backsliders all the time who come to this church, and I can see the tears streaming down their face during the service. Others will come to me and they'll say, hey, that they were weeping during the service. They came down the altar. The Spirit of God will move and they'll be drawn to the altar. And I mean, God's just moving in their life, and they know they need to get right with God. They know it's right. They know this church is a Bible-believing church. They know this is a Holy Ghost-filled people. They know they need to be here, but they feel the Spirit of God. They come to the altar and repent. But sometime between Sunday and Wednesday, or Sunday to Sunday, they get pulled back in the world. And listen, I've preached to 17 and 18 year old boys and girls who say, I know I need to get saved. I've preached to 40 year old men and women who say, I know I need to get saved. 60 year olds, 85 year olds who say, I know I need to get saved. But they never did. And they were taken out of this world instantly. Can you imagine the shock? They woke up in hell. We have seen people in this church numerous times throughout the last 21 years who were in this service. They were here on a Sunday morning or Sunday night or a Wednesday night. And I remember either shaking their hands. I still remember them standing up here and I laid hands on them and they were crying. Or maybe they knelt at an altar. I still remember touching their back or the back of their head and praying for them. And then somebody called me on a Tuesday and said, Brother Matt, this person passed away in a car wreck or had a heart attack. Something took place in their life. And my mind begins to go back. What did I preach? Did they make it right with God? Were they serious with God? Or maybe they just sit in an altar or in a pew. The Holy Ghost dealt with them, but they walked out that door, never changed. Ladies and gentlemen, it'd have been better for you to never been born than to resist the Holy Ghost. Don't you trample underfoot the blood of Christ. It is the Savior who loves us, who wants to save us. Do not reject His love. Any of us, our heart could stop at any moment. Sometimes I put my hand on my wrist and feel my pulse. Woo, it's getting after it right now. I put my hand on my heart. I'm like, wow. Boom, boom, boom. At any time, it could stop. Brother Clendon had a young preacher that came up under him. And I don't remember the story in great detail, but he said this was the greatest young preacher that ever had come up under his ministry. And he has him on recording. He's preaching. Man, this guy's preaching. I hope this don't happen to me this morning. He's preaching. And all of a sudden, at the end of his message, he has a heart attack and goes into eternity. Right there in front of the people, our hearts are beating. At any time, just like I could go over here and turn off that light switch, God can turn off the switch. You say, well, I'm only 25 years old. There ain't no way. How often does that happen? It happens more often than what you think. I heard a story from another preacher. He said there was a 13 or 14-year-old boy up in North Carolina. This 13, 14-year-old boy, he was a ball player. He played baseball, and they were playing a game, and he hit the ball, and it went up. It was a pop fly, and it went between the legs of the outfield guy, and this guy's making his turn, first base, and the coach is waving him on, go, go, go. He hits second. Then he makes his turn to third, and he gets almost to home. And they say because of the excitement, I don't know if there was any medical problems. As far as they knew, he was as healthy as could be. His heart exploded when he hit home plate, lost, and went into eternity. And we play games with God. Listen to me today. It's going to be a surprise at how fast we go to hell or how fast we're taken out and we're in heaven. Number four, there's going to be some surprises. Some will be surprised at who they find in hell. You're going to see Hitler and Stalin. Rapists are going to be in hell. Racists are going to be in hell. But you're also going to see sweet little grandmas in hell. What a surprise. What a surprise. You are going to see movie stars and athletes and news anchors of great personality. But you're also going to see moms and dads who love their children so much. What a surprise. What a surprise who you're going to find in hell. You may even see Matt Gregory in hell. I pray you don't. But Paul the Apostle said he could preach to others and become a castaway. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to go on with God. But I'm going to tell you something. Any of us can make up our mind at any time. What a surprise. The preacher, the evangelist, the missionary, the best person that we ever met in our life. How am I going to make it to heaven? I must overcome. I must overcome this life. I must overcome this flesh and overcome the devil. I must walk with him all the way into the end. Don't you give up throwing the towel or go back. Listen, we've come too far to look back, ladies. Ladies and gentlemen, we're almost home. I can almost see the lights of the city. It's time to go on with God. Press on. It's time to get serious about the things that are eternal. What a surprise. What a surprise. You're going to see Mormons in hell. Jehovah Witnesses in hell. Muslims, Baptists, Methodists, and Pentecostals. What a surprise. Who you're going to see in hell. Number five, some will be surprised at the torment waiting in hell. They thought hell was just a state of mind. There is this wicked, strange doctrine out there that says this. Hell is just a state of mind. If you're having a good life now, you're in heaven. And if you're having a miserable, agonizing life now, this is your hell. That is a wicked lie that has been just completely given by the devil himself. Or they will say this. I've heard this kind of garbage. If you're in hell, God's going to, if you don't like classical music, he's going to put you in a room with the classical music and torment you. Wicked lies. Let me tell you what the Bible says about the torment of hell. Listen to me. The Bible says the torment is a burning inferno. The flames are going to go up. It's a burning, constant fire. Again, I say it to you. It's not going to be like a piece of paper you burn up one time, or after the wood is completely consumed, it disintegrates and it's gone. Listen to me. That body is immortal. It will never die. It's going to keep burning over and over. Over and over again. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you believe the lies. How can it be, preacher? My human mind can't comprehend it. God didn't intend for us to understand everything, because I can't, you can't. But what we are commanded to do is believe the word of God. I don't have to understand it. Just believe what Jesus Christ of Nazareth has said. Brother Matt, how can all these people go to hell in other nations? Listen, it's not for me to understand and you to understand everything, but what we are called to do is preach the gospel to the lost and the hurting. How are they going to know if a preacher doesn't go? How are they going to know if somebody doesn't give to missions? Hell is a place of torment. It's going to be surprising, the torment in hell, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, grinding your teeth together because of the pain. It's not just an eternal separation. Oftentimes, TV evangelists will say, if you do not accept God, there will be an eternal separation between you and God. You know what that is? That's trying to smooth it over. Yes, there will be an eternal separation between you and God. But that way, the person who knows what the Bible says about hell, they say, okay, he's preaching on hell. But just in case someone doesn't believe in hell, they'll say, okay, he's not going too hard about the pain and pangs of eternal death. Listen to me. I can tell you this. It's going to be a separation, but it is going to be a burning, painful fire. My Bible says it's a place of eternal fire. It's not just eternal separation, but it's a place of eternal pain and regret. I say it often. Brother Wilkerson brought this to my attention, and I began to study up on this, and it's true. The word, whenever Jesus said, the worm dieth not, it's not a little incorruptible worm that goes through the lake of fire and eats at you. That's not what that is. When Jesus said the worm dies not, you know what that means? If you translate the Greek, it means that, and it comes from a Hebrew word. You translate the Hebrew, and it means the conscience will eat away at you. The worm is translated into a word we get the word conscience from. So what is he saying? The worm dies not. He is saying that you are going to remember everything about this life. You'll remember every single time you heard a gospel song. You think that you have a bad memory? Your memory's going to come alive. You'll remember every time you went down the road and the Holy Ghost dealt with you. You'll remember every time that a preacher preached the most basic, simple gospel message. You'll replay it over and over again in your mind. You'll think your mind will play tricks on you, and you'll think you're back on this earth and you have one more chance. And all of a sudden, you'll be pulled back into hell. You'll think you're dreaming. Ladies and gentlemen, that worm's going to torment over and over again at the mind, and you will live in constant regret. The worm that dies not. Someone come to the piano this morning. Many will be surprised at the torment of hell. Real flames, real fire, real smoke. If you die without God, you're going to be surprised. that God has created a place like this. Now, it wasn't created for man. It was created for the devil and his angels. But because, according to the Word of God, because of man's rebellion, his disobedience, his willful sin, and his rejection of the cross and the Christ as presented by the Holy Ghost, men choose hell. That's just the facts of the matter. By choice, we choose heaven or hell. It is a choice. You've heard the gospel message. You say, well, brother, I believe everything you're saying. Are you living it? Because that's all that matters. You can believe. Listen, but Brother Matt, I'm a believer. So are the devils. James said the devils even believe and they tremble, but they ain't going to heaven. I'm a believer. Woo, I believe everything you're saying. Praise God. Woo, amen. I want the amens. Keep them coming. Amen, amen. The devils believe and they tremble. What makes a true born again, you have to have that experience first with God. He saves you by the blood of the cross. And then you have that experience of walking with Him, keeping His word, and making that commitment. Listen, people view death as a dreaded monster. Think about that, don't we? Oh, no, not death. It's a dreaded monster. I don't want it to come get me. Listen, death and hell, if a person's in hell, death would be looked at as a welcome angel in hell. Oh, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Basically, what they're saying is, many people are saying, I don't want to cease to exist. That type of death would be a welcome angel in hell. Just let me stop existing. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Listen to me. I don't want to be insensitive today. Some of you know people have committed suicide. It's not a good thing, guys. You ain't going to hear me give no passes. You say, well, how could you say that whenever you're at a funeral? And say, listen, I don't preach them into hell. I don't do that. But if you think I'm going to tell that whole congregation to try to make that family feel better and cope with a death like that and put everybody in that room at risk, you're talking to the wrong preacher here. I love people. I'm not going to put them into hell, but I'm going to tell you something. It ain't good. I've dealt with two people that have struggled with a spirit of suicide, and I cut no corners. I cut no corners with that spirit. It's demonic. It's a lie from hell. Don't you believe a preacher who wants a paycheck. Don't believe that. Or wants to get in good with you. They hug you, and they want to get in your back pocket, because that's really what it all comes down to. That's really what it all comes down. They'll tell you whatever you want to hear. They'll console you. And by consoling you, they're not thinking. They're thinking about the temporal, and they're not thinking about the eternal. Hear me, church. We've got to overcome all the way until the end. Number six, can we stand? This is the sixth surprise in hell. Some people will be surprised that God allows the torment to continue. I said it a moment ago, it's not just a burning and then non-existing. There's a mentality, we think of retribution. We think of the prison system today, our justice system. Okay, if I live 75 years on the planet and I lived a wicked, sinful life for 75 years, God's going to punish me for 75 years. And then after I burn up, I'll just cease to exist. Do not believe that lie. That's a lie. That's a spirit of deception. Eternity is forever and ever and ever. It's going to be 1,000 years in hell. Can you imagine 1,000 years of pain and memories and regret? And then it's going to turn into 1,500 years in hell. And then 10,000 years in hell. 1,000,000 years in hell. 1,000,000 will turn into 2,000,000 years. And then 100,000,000 years. And then 1,000,000,000 years. Hell will then turn in time to 1,000,000,000,000 years. I'm just going with some of the numbers that we know. 1,000,000,000,000 years. 5 trillion years in hell. And then eternity will just begin. A 100 trillion years. 900 trillion years in hell. And we make excuses of why we can't serve God. We don't like that church. We don't like their singer or the preacher. We got our feelings hurt. Don't hurt my feelings. I'll leave. Really? Really? How foolish we are. Oftentimes, we're so temporal-minded. So temporal-minded. Hear me today. It's forever and ever and ever. We need to regain an eternal perspective again. There are people here today that have sat in these services where the Holy Ghost is moving and the Spirit of the Lord, the Word goes forth, and you've really never made a commitment to God. You've always just, you've escaped the altar call and you've said another time. And I believe many of you believe it's all true. Just not now. You've escaped every altar call. Please don't escape this altar call today. Please. I am a salvation preacher. I'm not called to be an evangelist. I'm called to be a pastor. I told you a couple weeks ago, I want to be an evangelist so bad. God said no. But I'm a salvation preacher. That's all that matters, is that you finish the course. If that's you today, you say, well, I am away from God. Maybe you've never been born again. I want you to just move out from your pew, and I want you to come down here and stand. I'm going to pray with you. If you've never been born again, or you're a backslider in this house, I want you to come out from your seat. As they begin to sing, I want you to come. Thank you, sir. God's going to do that work in your heart today. Oh, yes, Lord. Anyone else in this house? Thank you, Jesus. Let's begin to pray.
And oh, the blood,
oh, yes,
of Jesus shed for me.
Oh, God. Hallelujah.
Oh, what a sacrifice.
Thank you, Jesus.
That saved my life. Yes, the blood.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Sing it.
Oh, yes, the blood of Jesus washes me. And oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me.
I'm going to give a general altar call in just a moment, but I'm going to say this. If you've come and you've been saved, maybe in the last couple of weeks, month, year, 25 years, you've got to have an intimate walk with the Lord. I've seen them come in, and just like Jesus talked about the parable that fell among stony ground, there wasn't much earth, so the seed immediately brought forth, and it grew. But because there was no root, this is what gives you roots. Because there was no root, when trials, the sun came, it scorched it, and it died. That's a trial that comes your way. Pressures from work, family, all the agonies of life, it comes, and you just stop going to church, and you just get out of walking with God, and you end up in hell too. You got to get a root. I want us all to come and find a place to kneel. You can stand up against the walls. You can pray on these next pews, but let's come, stand, pray, kneel. Let's ask the Lord this. Lord, give me a fresh understanding of an eternity without God. Let's get a burden, church, for the lost.